And I also mean, like, why are we giving our running back 9 attempts?
Yeah,
that's another thing we could get at, too. I mean, it's like, it's weird because North Dakota State got off to a lead early, but it was 14-7 at the half. Mm-hmm. Like, you could have kept sticking with that run game. It's not like you're in desperation mode to throw the ball and get a big play downfield. Like, you have the opportunity to 100% get the run game going. And, yeah, Winker's right. We could get to that really quick. Just from what we've seen in the past, and just not it. 9 attempts, 24 yards. And once again, that might not be – that's and a touchdown. Might not necessarily be his fault because of how good this North Dakota State defense is, but still, just on only 9 attempts, it feels a little weird.
Yeah, and Illinois State's method of victory was always going to be the run game. They were never going to win with dominance throughout the air. This Illinois State team, for year after year, is known for running the ball. And when your star guy's only getting 9 attempts, it's just not going to work out. And I mean, just 25 attempts for 46 yards, just that North Dakota State, just they just kind of showed there's levels to the sport.
I feel like they're just kind of going away from us working right now. You know that their run game is looking really good last week. I know Winkers had over, like, what, 120 last week? Then this week you give them 9 attempts. That just also kills the confidence out of somebody trying to build off of good performances and trying to have good games after that. But when you give a guy 9 attempts and also your quarterback, who's also a running quarterback, just runs the ball around 6 times, like, I don't know if that's winning a piece of recipe right there.
Yeah, I just need you guys to kind of start asking questions about Coach Speck when it comes to the big game, because I got the statistic from Noah, who I work with at the Vidette and also works with TV10. Since 2019, Illinois State is 3-11 against top 25 teams. They just can't win the big game. They win against opponents they're supposed to, which is just the definition of mid, when you're beating who you're supposed to, but then losing who you're supposed to as well.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of questions, and I've been kind of thinking about it for the last year or two, because just some of the decisions I've seen in some of these games, it gets a little frustrating. And I mean, he's a Redbird for life, it feels like. So, I mean, I don't think anyone's really necessarily calling for his job right now, but especially because, you know, their two losses are against two, you know, North Dakota State. I think if you put them in the FBS, they're still going toe for toe with just about any team in the FBS. I mean, we saw it against Colorado. Might not be top tier, top 25, but just considering the past and the history and whatever it might be. So there are two losses that are tough, but you do bring up that point of, hey, he really cannot win the big game. And really from here on out, there's not a lot of games for him to prove it in terms of winning the big game until maybe this team makes it to the playoffs.
Well, isn't Southern Illinois ranked?
They, I think they're 19 right now. Yeah, Southern Illinois is 19, and that's coming up.
This should be the next game, I think.
Okay, yeah. Looking at the schedule, yeah, Southern Illinois 19 in the nation. They are 2-3 on the year, but still not anything to look to cross out in terms of on the schedule. But just for let's just kind of close the book on this game. 42-10, it's just not ideal. And I mean, how do you, if you're the Redbirds, how do you really move forward from this and kind of bounce back, maybe learn a couple lessons and really just continue to move forward?
Well, we kind of talked about it a little bit already, but it's just got to rely on the run game. I mean, that's where you win games. I like Tommy Rittenhouse, don't get me wrong, but we know that the specialty is being able to run the ball, so we got to get the handoffs going with the running backs and the quarterback play, and we just need to figure out who the quarterback is. You can't build around two quarterbacks. It's just not how it works. We need to figure out who the guy is.
I think it's just all about staying confident, knowing that this opponent was going to be your toughest opponent except for Iowa, and you just got to move on from it, because all these rest of the games matter now. You got to win every single game from here on out now, and there's pretty much no other excuse except for that, because you already have two losses, one's in conference, and if you really feel like you want to be a team that's going to go far in the playoffs and just keep on building off of that, you don't want to face a North Dakota State so early again.
I got to ask this, and we were kind of talking about it before the show. I don't understand why they keep scheduling North Dakota State for our homecoming games. Like, we were so excited last week. We're like, oh, such a huge opportunity to be able to just, you know, walk into your stadium, sold out crowd, just everyone is so excited for this team. But ultimately, I don't understand why it just keeps being North Dakota State. I know that they don't make the schedules, but like, I'm looking at Murray State in October. Homecoming was in October last year. Like, that's a game that you should probably schedule for homecoming, because I don't know, back in high school, whenever we had homecoming, it was always against trying to be the worst team possible.
Worst team possible.
But yeah, no, it's just they think with a larger crowd, the atmosphere is going to make it more likely to compete. But with all due respect, I don't know how big Hancock Stadium is. We'll say the 20,000 fans, none of them are going to be on the field playing the game. It's going to be 11 versus 11 either way, and North Dakota State was able to prove that.
Yeah, I mean, like we said the same thing over and over again. This team's just really, really good. And ISU, like, we're good, but we're not that level yet. And knowing that you're not that level yet, you got to face the guys and just beat out the guys that you're going to just see having rough games, and it's going to be rough games all out, all here on out, because teams know that you're the ones to beat now. So they got to win out every single game now.
All right, looking ahead to next week, Joey mentioned it, number 19 Southern Illinois going – they're going to go to Carbondale to take on the Huskies. 2-3 on the year. Interesting little – I find it interesting that they're 2-3 considering that they've had just a couple losses here. And that they have a 19th ranked in the conference. They lost to BYU week one, 41-13, beat Austin Peay, 31-17, beat Incarnate Word, 35-28, lost to SEMO, 38-21, and then last week, a very good team in South Dakota, lost to them, 42-13. So, I mean, what's the key to really, you know, taking a step forward and trying to get past, Southern Illinois?
Are they for real 19th at 2-3?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's, but here's the thing, like,
and losing last week to us, South Dakota team. South Dakota was number 4 in the nation, but, or excuse me, in the FCS, but they still, I mean, they didn't even put up a fight against South Dakota.
Yeah, now here's my thing. We kind of talked about this last week where, like, North Dakota State, we kind of thought it was going to be our last chance, you know, to make a statement win and get a ranked win for the rest of the season. Well, guess what? The FCS committee has handed you a golden opportunity to beat a ranked team that might not be that good at the game of football. You just simply have to win this one if you want to keep climbing up the rankings for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, if this was basketball, I'd be saying a whole different story right now. But SIU in football, that should not be an opponent that they struggle with right now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if a game, like, you lose that badly, that should just, like, be... That should give them way more energy than trying to beat an opponent like this. And I think this game, honestly, now that we're looking at it, matters more than last game.
So Redbird football obviously going to Southern Illinois this weekend. Now we're going to talk a little bit about our volleyballers as they opened up conference play this weekend. Joey, you are on one of the calls, so you can give us even more insight as to what exactly happened. But open up conference play against Murray State, a team that we felt that they were significantly better than. They actually lost in 4 sets to them. Both these games were at CFQ Arena. And then, of course, on Saturday, which I think is the bigger deal and the bigger one we could highlight, beating out Belmont in 5 sets. Joey, what did you see from this team that you really liked?
I was on the call with Everton for the Belmont game for the victory, just kind of the magic I put off on the team. But it was a successful day. It's just the big issue Illinois State was having throughout these games was errors. There's just unforced errors, which was letting Murray State and Belmont back into these contests. But, man, Ada Shadwell is just a unit down there.
She's,
she's just impossible to stop. She gets kill after kill. And it's just there was a lot of good rallies back and forth, a lot of good play. It's just this team, they just needed more time, you know, get the chemistry building because, you know, there was 11 new players that came in this offseason. But they finally got it clicking, and now they're in Valley play. They're 1-1, and more wins should be coming on for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I feel like it's just building blocks. You build off of every single game that you have because you have a young roster and also a lot of transfers coming in too. So each game, I feel like that's going to be in a conference game. You just got to build off your chemistry and just knowing that even though you lost the first game against Murray State, you bounced back and won against Belmont. So good games are going to come and good games are going to go, but it just depends on how they just take the games with a grain of salt.
Yeah, looking at some of the stats, I mean, the team is just, in terms of, it feels like it's been mistakes because they are playing extremely well. Caitlin Little had 20 kills, Ruth Ziegler had 12 kills, and Ada Shadwald had 11. And, you know, it just feels like they feel like they're starting to mesh better, especially down this stretch recently. They won 2 out of 3 in the Owls Paradise Classic. Obviously a tough loss to Murray State, but I feel like the Belmont win is a big win as we really move forward in the conference play. Looking forward to this weekend, Missouri State on Friday. That one starts at 6, and then Southern Illinois at 3 p.m. at Southern Illinois. So the Redbirds don't return home until next weekend where they'll take on Indiana State and Evansville. So I think there's a lot to look forward to with this team. And, you know, we saw last year just the turnaround and the 9-game winning streak. And I feel like they could put on a similar run of that as they did last year.
Exactly, because as we've talked about in the past for Red Zone, their big losing streak came to out-of-conference play, and they were able to avoid that mess. So the winning streak's bound to come. And if Illinois State can start putting 9 together, who knows what they're going to do in the Valley this season.
So all of our home teams are away this weekend. When we come back, we're going to talk some high school football. We're going to talk with the head coach of the Bloomington Purple Raiders here on the Red Zone. WZND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Voss, Joey LeMaster. We just talked a little Illinois State football. We're we're going to talk about some high school football, especially more highlighting some of the high school football in the area. But before we get to that, once again, we do have a text line now. If you want to reach out to us and, you know, just chirp us, whatever it might be, we are at 309-503-1033. Once again, that is 309-503-1033. But today, me and Julian had the honor of talking to Coach Mulcahy of the Bloomington Purple Raiders. The Bloomington Purple Raiders are off to a hot start this year in the high school football season, as they've started 5-0, and they're coming off an 84-0 victory last week and have scored 40-plus points in every single one of their matchups. So all of a sudden, all this community is turning their heads to the Bloomington Purple Raiders. They have a big game coming up against Normal Community, one of their rivals this week. Normal Community, obviously, if you remember last year, was very good. Lost to Mount Carmel right before the state championship and is currently 4-1 going into this year. So, right, with that being said, here is Coach Mulcahy of the Bloomington Purple Raiders.
For our audience, if you want to give yourself a little bit of background on yourself and just kind of explain who you are, kind of how you got to the point where you are now with Bloomington.
Sure, yeah. So I grew up in the western suburbs. I went to Fenwick High School. I came down to the Bloomington Normal area when I went to college and played football at Illinois Wesleyan. So I graduated from Wesleyan in 2015, and then I've been a math teacher in the building here at BHS and an assistant football coach for the last 8 years. This is my ninth year at the high school.
That's awesome. Super excited for that.
Yeah. And leading off of that, we've seen your team have a lot of success this year, offensively and defensively. So what has led to your offensive success this year, scoring at least 40 points a game?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of contributing factors to that. I think overall our team's success at this point is due to really our seniors' buy-in to what the coaching staff has asked them to do in season, and even more so in the off season. As they've been in the high school, they've been continually committed to developing their strength, and speed and agility in the off season. It's a pretty tight group of guys who work hard every day. And then beyond that, just their ability to take coaching and come to practice every day and take it seriously, be dialed in, practice the way that they want to play. And I think a lot of this team's success this year can be attributed to those seniors kind of just leading the charge and keeping things going in the right direction.
Kind of leading off that, obviously you guys have been putting up absurd offensive numbers throughout the year, and last week you put up 84 points to nothing. How do you kind of keep the team on their toes after a big win like that and really continue to have them stay hungry throughout the rest of the year?
Yeah, I mean, that just is kind of our philosophy as a coaching staff, and what we preach to the guys is it's one week at a time. You know, football is a long season. Teams continually improve throughout the year, so we need to also keep pace and continue to improve throughout the year. That's something that I love about this group is they're always hungry, looking for the next challenge. And so, you know, kind of after the game last week, they're like, okay, we're ready. You know, we're excited to get to play our crosstown rival and Normal Community and really get a test and see what this team's all about this year.
And going off of that one, like you said, you have a big game this weekend against Normal Community. What are you doing with your team to prepare for that game?
Yeah, so, you know, like I said earlier, kind of our mindset each week is, you know, we got to make the most of the week that we have in front of us and prepare for the opponent that we have on the schedule. So, you got specific game plan for Normal Community, and the guys have been learning and then practicing and implementing that game plan throughout this week. I thought we've had a pretty dialed-in week of practice. The guys are motivated and working to do things the right way to make sure that, you know, they can execute the way that they need to on Friday.
Obviously, it's a team sport, and everyone plays a part in building a winning culture, but is there any certain players that, you know, you could say to our audience that is really attributed to your guys' success throughout this season?
Yeah, I hope you got a little time because I do have a list of guys who I think big-time contributors on the team. I mean, I start offensively. I think and really the team kind of goes with him. Our quarterback, A.J. Codron, you know, this is his third year as a starter. Really kind of leads the guys by example, and this year he's become even more so verbal, encouraging the guys, keeping them up, keeping them focused as they go through the week of practice and through the games. You know, Rob Lanier has had a great year running the ball, good physical runner, love watching him run the ball, and then Mikey Kimmel as well has had a good year running and then blocking for us offensively. You know, all that stuff obviously can't happen without five guys up front working their butts off on the offensive line. So, you know, our offensive line is Dave Williams, Gurveer Singh, Chance French, Caden Walls, and Justin Robinson, kind of a big group of guys up front who work in every play to make, you know, AJ's life easier back when he's passing the ball, and then Rob, Mikey, and our other ball carriers able to have holes and gaps to run through. Defensively, I think a big plus on our team defensively is our linebacking core. We've got some guys who really motor to the ball and play hard and play physical. Kenner Bye and, you know, Mikey Kimmel is also a linebacker for us. We're lucky enough to have Lorenz Higgins come over to Bloomington this year. I love watching him play football, the way that he motors after the football. And then defensive line-wise, you can get some big dudes who work to pressure the quarterback, you know, and kind of those guys who are playing the offensive line also rotate on the defensive line for us. So, you know, just a lot of guys who just are working really hard.
And you said your seniors have been a catalyst for your team this year. So how do you feel like your juniors and your sophomores will develop into next year?
You know, I hope that they kind of take the senior leadership that they have and kind of the way that the seniors drive practice and their approach and use it as a model. Because this year they have done a great job of kind of following those seniors' leads and some of them stepping up and becoming a little bit of leaders themselves. In terms of their approach and just kind of continuing to build that culture from what the seniors are working to establish this year.
We talk about the seniors, obviously the underclassmen. Really going forward, crystal ball, what do you envision for your program, not only this year, but just going forward into the future?
You know, I hope that these guys continue to develop both as football players and as young men. That's kind of my favorite thing about coaching and being involved at BHS, you know, this is my ninth year, is watching these guys come in as freshmen and grow up and mature in the school and on the football field, and just working to continue to build that culture of guys who want to work hard in the off season and hit the weight room hard, and then come out and give their best effort on Friday nights, and things kind of fall how they do from there.
Well, Coach, that's all we have for you today. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this, and hopefully we'll see you in Hancock Stadium in November.
That would be awesome. Thank you guys for having me on.
Thank you, Coach Mulcahy, so much for joining the show and really taking time out of your day in order to do that interview with us. And I don't know if you guys liked what I did there, but if you didn't know, the IHSA State Championship is hosted now every year here at Hancock Stadium. So just wanted to drop a little nudge on him and just be like, hey, you know, the season's looking up right now. There's a good chance that you might be playing here come November at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, this team's looking very good right now, and they're led by a coach that I could just tell cares about his players, because he shouted out so many players when he was asked for a couple. He gave out his whole line, he gave out his defenders, he gave out his skill guys, his running back, his quarterback. So this is somebody that just not only just wants to see his players succeed in right now in high school, but also he wants to see them go to the next level.
What I really liked was him, like, envisioning the future, too. Obviously, right now, it's like this team is looking up. We talked about it before we went to the interview itself. I mean, 40 points in every single one of your games and then winning 84 to nothing last week. I mean, that's insanely impressive. And these are against pretty good teams too. Like, I mean, they survived a shootout against Normal University, or excuse me, U-High, 41 to 38 in week two. So, I mean, everything's looking up for this team. And what I really liked was the way that he talked about just, you know, as much as right now is the present, he is just excited about the future of this program, like being able to lean on the senior leaders who have really stepped up and, you know, hopefully that carrying over to the juniors and sophomores that are a part of this team.
And, like, you can also just tell he cares so much because he also went to Illinois Wesleyan, which is also very close to here. So not only is he trying to build some his players up and also, but he's building his own image and his own rep for being like a hometown guy coming from a college that he was very close to going all the way here to Bloomington.
I mean, that's what you got to do with a first-time coach, man. It's like when you got to build a team identity from scratch, it's kind of hard to do it. But like when you have that hometown story as well and you can shout out all your players and all that, like you're building identity, which a team needs. And that's what's got to lead to a record like 5-0 and being able to score points at will.
It's one of my favorite parts about high school football, too, is just like the amount of people that come back to their school that have had, you know, playing experience, coaching experience elsewhere. But it always feels like, and I don't know if this is just specifically around me, but there's a lot of guys that are like alumni and graduates of certain schools from around the area and whatnot. You know, one of the biggest powerhouses, Mount Carmel, their head coach, Jordan Lynch, you know, he used to go to NIU, but he was a former Mount Carmel quarterback, and he came back and has led them to 3 state titles in his time there. So, I mean, I'm assuming Coach McKay is thinking the same thing, like bringing home a state title back to his hometown.
Yeah, and I feel like that's something they could do this season too. They look so good this season already, and it was only week 5 last week, and it's only be week 6 now. So this team is still very young. I know we shout out his seniors a lot, but they have a lot of juniors that are playing as well. So I think by the time the playoffs come around, this team's going to look pretty dangerous.
Once again, I mentioned big matchup this week against Normal Community. They're at 4-1. And once again, thank you so much for Coach McKay for taking the time to come on the Red Zone. We really enjoyed that interview. How are your guys' high school football teams doing?
Right now, they're looking really good. They're top 10 8A.
Where are you at again?
Minooka.
5-0?
Yep.
St. Lawrence is 5-0 too. Joey, you
Burlington
keep up
Central
enough?
Is mad irrelevant. Right. They've never had success in football, and it's still going that way.
Well, shout out to all our high school. Shout out to Bloomington for coming on, and shout out Coach McKay for joining the show as well. When we come back, we are going to talk last week in the NFL here on the Red Zone. 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation, back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Voss, Joey LeMaster, joined by one of our lovely interns, Kason Sagothi. Thank you so much, Kason, for joining the show. Couldn't get that one out.
It's all good. I get Jason all the time, so you don't
got
to worry about it.
Oh, man, love it. Thank you so much for joining. We're going to talk NFL for the next half hour, which I'm assuming you would love to talk NFL.
I can go on and on about the NFL as long as I want to, so I'm ready to throw it down with the fellows.
So we're going to talk some Week 4 football, but before you do that, go to WZND's Instagram and vote for the Pick 6 Game of the Week. That will be the game that we're highlighting. Go to the story tab on Instagram and vote along so we can see what ends up being our Pick 6 Game of the Week. So let's go back over to Week 4 of the NFL slate, and we'll start last Thursday. Not much to talk about with this game. It was kind of low scoring and just felt really weird in general. Cowboys 20, Giants 15.
Yeah, I'm just afraid the Cowboys aren't that good, because if the Giants get one touchdown instead of all field goals, they're going to win that game. So the fact that like the Giants are like in a neck-and-neck contest with the Giants is just very concerning.
Yeah, I don't think that the Cowboys are really that nervous about this win, but also Micah Parsons' injury as well.
Yeah, I'm
and
about that.
Their weapons are not looking that good at all right now, so I think they need to make a move on that.
I think Dallas also lost that big edge rusher that they signed in the offseason, didn't they? Was his
can't think of his name.
I don't know, but they just put another guy on IR, and the fact that Micah Parsons seems to starting to get that injury trend is got to be really worrisome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully Parsons is okay. If not, we'll take him over on the Bears side. I'm not kidding. Falcons 26, Saints 24. The Saints were in 2 shootouts 2 weeks in a row, but Younghoe Koo seals the deal for the Falcons as they beat the Saints, who through 2 weeks it felt like they were one of the best teams in football. But guess what? They were frauds. Just kidding. They might be. They might not be. You guys can go along with that as you think.
Reality can just punch you in the face sometimes. That's kind of what happened with the Saints. They were just dogging on Derek Carr for like the last 6 months of last season, and then they got 2 weeks and thought they were back. Welcome to reality. This sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah, Saints. I never really saw it all in them at all. The Falcons. Why are they getting so many primetime games? That was like such a mid-game.
I was wondering the same thing. I feel like they've had one every week.
They've had 3 now. It's just like, let this team go. I know they're okay, but it's just like, both these teams are just mediocre, and their division as well is just like whatever.
Captain Kirk slander is not allowed on Red Zone, Julian. I'm going to need you to take that back.
I mean, Kirk clearly went so. Kirk clearly was viral enough for the NFL to figure that they needed the primetime games, but Younghoe Koo is honestly one of the best kickers in the league, and he's going to take over for Justin Tucker once he retires as the best kicker in the game.
Get the statue.
24-18, the Chicago Bears get their second win of the season. Really just, once again, defense looked great. Caleb Williams looked solid, and that running game has finally got going. And I will say this, offensive line didn't look that bad.
Yeah, DeAndre Swift heard I picked up Roschon Johnson in fantasy and just took it as personal as humanly possible. DeAndre Swift had that breakout game we've all been looking for. Offensive line played solid, and this defensive unit just continues to prove they're one of the best in the NFL.
Did you say you dropped DeAndre Swift in fantasy?
Oh, no, I picked up Roschon. Okay. And then DeAndre's like, oh, you think Roschon's going to get minutes? Get out of here, boy. That's not happening.
Good, yeah. I mean, there's a lot we could talk about from this game, but I just like Caleb Williams' development.
Yeah.
His development's looked really well now. He looks very poised in the pocket, and I just want to see that connection with DJ Moore just get better by each week.
QBR has raised every single week for Caleb Williams. It was over 100 for the first time in the season last week. I have no doubt that it's going to continue to improve, especially this week against a Rams defense that is hurt.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing of it all, too, is that what I look at is, we were talking about it over the last couple of weeks, the biggest way for an offense to succeed is to have a good running game, and that's exactly what we saw last Sunday. I mean, Roschon still looked good, even though, you know, everyone thought it was like, Roschon's taking over. Doesn't matter. He still looked great. DeAndre Swift finally looked awesome. So, I mean, I'm just excited for the way this offense could be trending if they continue to get that run game involved. All right, looking ahead, another NFC North matchup. This game was just a barn burner. But the Vikings, after we dogged on them our first week at, on Red Zone, absolutely dogged on them.
Everybody
we were like,
did.
It's either players in jail or injured.
jail is
Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold might be the MVP there right now after leading the Vikings 4-0 record. They beat the Packers 31-29, and Jordan Love, surprisingly, is already back.
Yeah, this Vikings team like might for real be a super team. They already got wins over the 49ers, the Texans, and now the Packers. Those are all teams that are likely to make in the playoffs. Sam Darnold is so awesome, and Justin Jefferson is just clearly the best receiver in football. I don't even think it's a debate anymore.
Yeah, this team's looking so good right now. They're looking like the top team in the division, but at the same time, I just cannot take the Minnesota Vikings seriously when it comes week 16 or 17. But they're looking really good right now. Sam Darnold, I think, is also the front runner in MVP, but I don't know. It's such a crazy, statement.
What happened to the sport I love?
It's such a crazy statement to even say.
I can't help but root for Sam Darnold, especially after he got thrown out of New York for all intents and purposes. They drafted Zach Wilson, I think, a year or two after they drafted Sam Darnold in the first round. So I can't help but root for the guy, and honestly, I'm terrified of the Vikings.
Someone said the 2022 Carolina Panthers are an absolute shambles right now, considering they probably had the, at this point in the year, I mean, we obviously Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the world, but in terms of stats and everything like that, Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield might be the two best. So those two were both in the same quarterback room in 2022, and they both got benched. All right, 27-24, the Colts defeat the Steelers. And, folks, we get to see Joe Flacco once again.
Yes.
Joe Flacco slang that thing. He came into the game and threw a touchdown immediately. It was beautiful. And also, I just want to say this, too. I think that the Colts are purposely trying to injure Anthony Richardson. Did you guys know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So he got a little, for anyone that didn't see it, he got a little shaken up. I think it was like a leg injury or something like that. And he was like, all right, coach, I'm good. Put Anthony Richardson right back in the game. They do a run play as soon as he gets in, and then he's right out of the game immediately. So I think they're just trying to injure Anthony Richardson because, I mean, Joe Flacco, for the last year and a half, has been that guy.
I mean, the only player that wants to, like, injure his teammates more is probably Patrick Mahomes. But it's just, Joe Flacco looked
incredible. I forgot about that.
Joe Flacco has just looked incredible. It's just, Anthony Richardson, gotta get a little nervous. Like, I know you need more time for the development, but we talk about it every week. It's like, you're either making the best throw we've ever seen, or it's like, why are you a starting quarterback? And if Joe Flacco's just gonna have that constant success, it's just gotta hurry, speed up with the progress of development.
I mean, you guys are talking about the Colts. I just want to talk about Justin Fields right now, because this man had 312 yards. Mm-hmm. He's looked so good. And like, if nobody saw this coming, then I don't know what to even say.
I think Mike Tomlin has done wonders for Justin Fields. I really do. I think an offensive line and a really good head coach that actually cares about his success is going to completely turn his career around, and I don't think anybody in this room is surprised by that. I was a Keep Fields guy originally, and I am proud to say that I was a Keep Fields guy, so I'm gonna stick to my opinions on that.
We're going to zoom through a couple of these games, because why do they even matter? The Broncos are somehow 2-2 after they get a win against the Jets, 10-9. Jets are very much struggling on offense, and they need to figure it out soon because they're losing to the Denver Broncos.
Devontae's not going to fix it.
That's a whole other conversation. conversation. Tampa Bay Buccaneers is a team that we're going to see later tonight. They win 33-16. They have looked phenomenal. So but I think the biggest thing about it all is Nick Sirianni's seat's getting a little hot.
Yeah, we may be on red zone, but the seat is red hot for Nick Sirianni. It's just, I think he's, what, 3-10 in his last 13?
Yeah,
the Eagles have just fallen off the face of the earth. And when you have an offense as freaking talented as this core group of players is, you just can't be losing games like this.
To the extent, they also do have a lot of injuries right now. I mean, Jalen Hurts didn't have besides Dallas Goedert, didn't have anyone to throw to last week. So I mean, that's the only thing that I think that you can defend them for. But other than that, that seat feels like it's getting hot.
I thought they were going to fire Sirianni in the offseason, honestly, because you could tell at the end of the year last year, their chemistry was looking way worse. They had a horrible second half of the season, and it seemed like Sirianni's would be gone after that. But they're not going to. I don't think they're going to fire him in the middle of the season, and this team needs to get going right away.
I mean, all I can say is, you know, Boomer Sooner, baby. Baker Mayfield is the best quarterback in the NFL. That's all I can say.
He kind of is. I'm not going to lie. He has been very good.
I'm unapologetically a diehard Baker Mayfield fan. I have a Cleveland Browns Baker Mayfield jersey that I wear proudly. I wear proudly.
Kind of tough.
That I love Baker Mayfield, so go Bucks.
Bengals 34, Panthers 24. I don't mean to talk much about this one other than the Bengals finally getting their first win. Texans 24, Jaguars 20. I mean, I think the big storyline out of this one is the Jaguars just cannot get a win for the life of them.
Yeah, I think they're in the worst situation any team could imagine to be because, like, yeah, when your team's doing bad, you can try and make moves to make the team better. The Jaguars are just stuck in, like, cap. Like, they just have no cap room at all. So I'm really nervous where this team's going to go. And Trevor Lawrence, fraud watch question mark?
I've been saying this since week one, since last year. I just never saw it inside of Trevor Lawrence. He's an okay quarterback, but he's not going to win you games when the time is needed. And the Texans, that was a good win for them, but they need to keep building off these wins because the last couple of weeks, they've looked pretty rough.
I was going to say, Texans only beat the Jaguars by 4 points. That's not a large margin of win against a team that has absolutely struggled this year. So if I was the Texans defense, I'd be going back to the drawing board and looking at why we only won by 4 points.
I mean, the Jaguars, to their credit, have lost 3 of their 4 games by one score.
True.
So they're in all these games. It's just a matter of they can't get it done. At least that's what I see. Once again, my brother's a Jaguars fan, so I try and defend them as much as I can. It's very hard to right now. Commanders, 42, Cardinals, 14, and the Commies. They are legit, man.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels is the real deal. He is so much fun to watch. You know, there's already a conversation starting at the Bears should have drafted. No, they shouldn't have. But Jaden Daniels is so much fun to watch. I hope both these quarterbacks work out well. I mean, are the Commanders for real?
Yeah, I am a proud Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin fantasy owner, and I'm
a Jaden Daniels owner.
I love this group of guys so much. The Commanders are so much fun. And Jaden Daniels, I wasn't too confident in his accuracy. Man, he proved me wrong because he has the best completion percentage through the first 4 games of his career ever. So I was clearly wrong on that take. The Commanders, there's a team having fun. You really can't beat vibes when it comes to football. Like, you can give me every stat in the world. It just comes down to vibes.
Yeah, I don't know why we can't just love both these quarterbacks in this draft class.
Exactly.
Because they're both so
they're both
talented.
Insane.
You could just tell from the very beginning, Jaden Daniels is going to be good. He's a Heisman winner. He's older. He's a veteran. And he's knew how to play in a system that Cliff Kingsbury is teaching him. Caleb Williams, he's very talented, very good. The coaches aren't helping him as much, but he's doing everything that he can on the other side. So both these quarterbacks are very good. Just in totally different situations.
Yeah, could you imagine if Caleb had Cliff?
I wonder if that would have worked out. college coach, whatever.
Yeah.
Looking ahead, 30-13, 49ers beat the Patriots, Niners back in the win column. On the other end, Raiders 20-16, a win over the Browns. The Browns are in shambles, but the Raiders might be in even more shambles considering their star wide receiver is looking to find his way out of Las Vegas.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I don't even know where I want Devontae to go. Like, I've been thinking about it. He's like, he wants to go to the Jets, mid. Wants to go to the Saints, mid. Like, this is not really a team that, like is eye-popping to me. And, like, he's not going to go to Kansas City. Like, I highly doubt Las Vegas would trade in their same division. So I don't really know what's going to happen. None of the trades would really move the needle for me either.
Yeah, I could talk about the Browns and how much I hate Deshaun Watson again this week, but I'm going to the Raiders, and that team is just a total dumpster fire right now. It just does not look good at all. Devontae wants out. Yeah, Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell playing for you. But, like, they just need to get everything going. And I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Playing for Shadur. That is what the Raiders are doing at this point. And I'm not even joking. I mean, they are kind of winning games, but there is no way that they're looking to Aiden O'Connell as their franchise quarterback. And they're about to lose their franchise receiver. Antonio Pierce is going to have a long road ahead of them.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If your future is Shadur Sanders, I pray for your fan base.
Chiefs 17, Chargers 10. I think the biggest storyline out of this one is not the Chiefs winning and starting 4-0, but kind of what Joey alluded to earlier, Rashee Rice likely done for the season with a torn ACL.
Yeah, Mahomes just did the Sean Taylor hit stick to his knee just with a crash out after throwing an interception. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, the Chiefs, they have gotten very lucky on some of their games right now, but they need to find another receiver because Xavier Worthy is not a wide receiver one right now.
Chiefs are the softest 4-0 I have seen in a long time.
I want to go against that. The Chiefs are the Patriots. They have officially become the Patriots.
Oh, I'm not denying that. 100%. 100%.
I understand the call against the Bengals. They probably should have lost that game. But at this point, Patrick Mahomes doesn't have to play well, and they will just find ways to win games. They have become the New England Patriots, and it is very obvious. I mean, they're scary, and they're going to always be good. But it is soft. It does feel a little soft.
They very easily
just
could
because
be
0-4. I think it's the biggest thing is because of the fact that they haven't had a huge Patrick Mahomes game yet.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Ravens 35, Bills 10. The Ravens needed a big-time win, and this was very much a statement win. Just all parts of the ball were going well for them.
Yeah, I mean, they've been waiting for this moment to get a big win against a team that was as hot as the Buffalo Bills. That's impressive.
I mean, this game is why I'm 6-0 this week in pick six. I mean, I'm going to keep saying it, but the Ravens are going to look better and better each game they play.
Defenses are worried that Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson are in the backfield. You got to block one of them. You can't block both of them, but don't worry, Bills fans. You'll be fine.
Looking ahead really quick to Monday night. This past Monday, Titans 31, Dolphins 12. That offense of the Dolphins is an absolute shambles. And then the Lions 42-29. That game was a lot of fun. I don't even think the score really evaluates what kind of game this was because I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Yeah, Lions, Seahawks, they just been in shootouts year after year. It's just always going to be fun football.
When we come back on the Red Zone, we are going to do pick six. 1033 WCND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Rue, Julian Boss, Joey LeMaster, and Casey Shingozi back with another edition of Pick Six, where we pick six games every single week and talk trash to each other in this office. Right now, let's look ahead to some of the standings. Steve at 16-8, but Julian tied with Steve after a 6-0 week last week. Myself and Joey tied at 14-10, and the guest, Casey, you got some work to do. They are in last place with 13-11, so not too far, but, you know, the gap really closed this week in terms of how far Steve was ahead of us.
Yeah, Julian had a little Mickey Mouse run. I'm not really that moved by it.
If you do it again, right, we'll see what happens.
Once again, if you want to comment any feedback, whatever you want to say, we now have a text line open. It is 309-503-1033. Once again, that is 309-503-1033. So the first game that we're going to get to is tonight's game. I think this is an awesome matchup of the NFC South, two of the best teams, two of the most exciting teams, I would say, on this young season thus far, the Buccaneers and the Falcons. Joey, I will start with you.
Yeah, both teams, there's a lot of fun to play football. I think this game's so 50-50, and when it comes down to that, I'm always just going to lean towards the home team, so I'm running with the Falcons.
Yeah, I think this is a good in-division game right here, but I do have the Bucs winning it. They look so good right now, and I think they're just going to keep going off of it.
Boomer Sooner. I got to pick Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Kirko Chains is going down in Atlanta.
I am also going to go with the Buccaneers. Mm. I've just liked what I've seen thus far this year. That offense is just cooking. They have so many different options they can go to. Chris Godwin is once just all of a sudden the best wide receiver in the NFL like he was a couple years ago when he was getting reception after reception after reception. Chris Godwin's back. Mike Evans is a stud, and I love that backfield. I don't know what it is about that backfield, but I love Bucky Irving. I think Rashad White is awesome as a pass catcher. And it's crazy because I've been picking the Falcons like every week.
Yeah, I feel like I have been as well. And for the first time ever, it's just me and Steve agreeing. I never thought I'd see the day. But yeah, I love Captain Kirk. I love this offense. I think the defense is underrated as well. But I'm expecting to see a lot of points.
Bills, Texans. I think this is one of the most exciting games of the week. We saw last week the Texans get a win over the Jaguars, but the Bills need a big time bounce back against this Houston Texans team. So Joey, I'll start with you. Which way are you leaning?
Yeah, I know we're talking about how stats are irrelevant. It's just all vibes. And I'm just kind of going with this. I feel bad that the Bills are in this situation again. Where, like, the Ravens, they started off poorly, and they were just due for a big win, and they got against the Bills. I kind of feel the same way about, like, with the Texans. Like, this Texans team's a Super Bowl contender, and they're just due for a big win. And unfortunately, the Bills are in this game twice, so I'm going to go with the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I mean, the Texans, I think the last 2 weeks, they won their last game, but the last 2 weeks, they just look kind of sloppy, so... Mm-hmm. I think D'Amico Ryan is going to want to switch that up a little bit, and the Texans are going to win.
I gotta go Buffalo here. I think Josh Allen is going to make his former teammate Stephon Diggs pay. I think this is gonna be a big game for Stephon Diggs.
Think about
that. He's either gonna have a career game against his former team, or he's going to have one of the worst games of his career. This is a big week for Stephon Diggs and Stephon Diggs alone.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. That's definitely a big, big factor. But I don't really care. I'm going with the Bills. I mean, I feel like they need a big bounce back after last week. Josh Allen, I still think he's been one of the most fun players to watch in the NFL this year. I feel like last week they just ran into a Baltimore Ravens train that, that really needed a win badly. And I think the Texans, while 100% a contender for the championship, just like Buffalo is, I think this could go either ways. I'm going to go with Buffalo. But I think this is a game we could be talking about in the near future, maybe towards January or February. I'm just saying it now.
That's a solid prediction right there.
Mahomes heard that.
I mean, they could still play each other.
They could.
Well, they'll probably end up playing Mahomes in the NFC Championship.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
This is a potential game in the AFC that could happen.
Protect them knees, Ben.
Wow.
Well, I'm going to get Rashee Rice.
Rashee Rice is crazy.
That's a verb now.
Oh, man. All right. Packers, Rams. The Rams looked pretty solid last week against the Bears, but ultimately Stafford's without some of his best options at wide receiver. Meanwhile, the Packers, they were clawing back in that game against the Vikings last week. Jordan Love looked, after a really bad first half, just came back to life and kind of showed how he was top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Packers, Rams, what we got, Joe?
Oh, yeah, this is a painful one for me to do because I always hate picking against this team, but it's just they have a really good offense. The Rams wasn't able to – DeAndre Swift was bad on the rushing attack for the first 3 weeks, and we know how good of a running back Josh Jacobs can be. I'm expecting a good game out of him as well, and just when you don't have your top two receivers, it's just kind of tough when you're throwing to me and Julian Voss on the field. So I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers.
I don't think it's tough to throw to Julian Voss on the field. I'll be honest, but I'm going to take the Packers this week because the Rams' defense is not that good. Their linebackers are not really that good at all, and I think Jordan Love's going to take advantage of that this week.
If I may pull a Coach Lee Corso, not so fast, gentlemen. Uh-huh. I am taking the reigning defensive rookie of the month, Jaren Verse, and the Rams' defense to go ahead and shut down the Packers. I think Jared Love may struggle again this week. I think he came back too early. So give me the Rams for the upset.
Yeah. I just think the Packers are really good this year. That defense is awesome. Obviously, they gave up 31 points to the Vikings, but I think that was just an NFC North shootout, something we're not used to. But Jordan Love, he has all the options in the world. I think it was a big loss to lose Christian Watson last week, but I just think, he's got Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, all those guys, and then someone mentioned Josh Jacobs, and I couldn't agree more. I think the Packers... Rams are just in a tough situation right now, so I'm going with the Packers.
Yeah, I was
going
to keep it real. Christian Watson just is not a big loss. I had a lot of fights from coming out of North Dakota State.
In terms of the way that offense works, because you do have so many different options that now it like closes the gap where I think like you're going to see more double teams on Jaden Reed potentially or Dontavian Wicks or Dubes. Mm-hmm. There were so many different options they could go to before that. Now it's like, all right, now there's only three.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And also, Steve going with the Rams as well.
I did see that.
Professional hater.
Gotta respect it.
I respect that, baby.
Sunday Night Football, probably two of the most historic teams in the NFL. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys coming off a win last week against the Giants, going against Justin Fields and the Steelers, who got their first loss of the year last year. But once again, Cowboys have not looked great, and Steelers, I think, for the most part, have looked pretty solid.
Yeah, I'm about to be really mature with my language here, but this is a real poopy, sneaky game. I'm just not really – for primetime, this is boring, but I'm going with the Steelers. The Cowboys are just falling apart. T.J. Watt might get 18 sacks.
I want to see a Justin Fields masterclass this season against the Cowboys, and I think that the Steelers will win this one. Because their defense is so good right now, and Cowboys' offense have been struggling so badly that I think they're going to overpower them.
I'm going to pick the Steelers this week, but don't be surprised if it's close. The Steelers suffered their third season-ending offensive line injury of the year last year.
Oh, my God.
So they're struggling up front to keep healthy, so Justin Fields may have to run for his life a little bit in this game. But I am still going to pick the Steelers. But watch out. This game could be a lot closer than people think.
You guys just put that one in my lap for me, huh? I'm going with the Cowboys. I'll go against all you guys. I mean, the Cowboys... It feels, once again, kind of like what we saw last Sunday night. Cowboys, yes, they got a win last week against the Giants, but they need something to show that hey, we're for real. Like, we are not this bad. You know, they might have a loss of Micah Parsons, whatever it might be. They might have absolutely zero run game right now. But as long as Dak Prescott's throwing the ball to CeeDee Lamb, I don't really care. They're better than most teams in the NFL, and I think they're a lot better than the Steelers.
I don't think they are. I mean, the Steelers, I mean, they just hold everybody to 10 points or less. His defense is just incredible. Just,
it feels different. It feels different when you're going against Dak and CeeDee. I don't know.
That's a tough game.
It is really tough. 100% is tough, and I'm happy that I'm the only one picking them this week.
It's going to be hard.
I thought everybody was going to take the Cowboys, and I saw all the Steelers. Like,
yeah, it's kind of crazy.
their line is ravaged. They are hurt right now with those injuries, so I would not be surprised if Micah Parsons, if he's healthy, goes crazy for a couple sacks.
I don't think he's playing.
He's not.
Is he not playing?
He really messed up his ankle. I think he sprained it really bad.
Did he talk about it on his podcast?
Hey, Michael Parsons, if you want to come join the Red Zone, we're more than happy to have you talk here. And just remember, I was the only one that picked the Cowboys, not the Steelers, so I don't get sacked in the studio. Saints versus Chiefs. This is Monday Night Football. The Chiefs on another primetime game. Meanwhile, the Saints, Derek Carr, Alvin Kamara, and the rest of the crew, kind of falling apart after scoring 40-plus points in each of their first week one and two games. So, interesting one, but I feel like we're all kind of heading in the same direction here.
No.
I'm riding with the Carr face. I'm riding with Derek Carr and the Saints this week. It's just the Chiefs, they're due for a loss. I mean, you got your wide receiver ones out and your running backs out as well. Those are just massive losses. Xavier Worthy can't be your wide receiver one. Kelce had a quote good week. It wasn't that impressive. I don't expect that to continue. And the Saints, they've been hanging in all these games. I think they're due for a win. Give me the Saints this week.
I got the Patrick Mahomes game coming up right here. I think he's going to throw around 350 and show that he doesn't need any wide receivers to win like he did last year.
I'm going to ditto Julian on this one. I think the Chiefs are going to improve to 5-0, even though it's going to be the softest 5-0 in the league, as I said earlier.
Yeah, give me the Chiefs in this one. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's Travis Kelce. You said quote good week, but honestly, 89 yards considering what it's been. It's pretty good for Kelce. I think this is going to be a big Kelce week. He's finally the number one target there, it feels like.
Yeah. Which is what Patrick has been waiting
for. Yeah, he's not going to be a left tackle anymore for the team. maybe Taylor Swift will be there to hype him up. I think this is
100%.
I appreciate the free point, y'all. Like, I know, like, we were wanting me to get back to Julian and Steve's level, so the fact you guys are willingly giving me this free W, like, I'm very appreciative of it.
See how you said you need to get to my level? So maybe you should take my advice.
Well, I would say it's like the softest 16-8 we got going on in Red Zone right now, so I'm not that moved.
The chirp has been crazy on the Red Zone the last couple of weeks.
It's a U of I Notre Dame thing.
But they're not even rivals.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, boy.
All right, now to our game of the week. We put out a poll on Instagram at the beginning of the show, basically saying, vote for our game of the week, and this will be the game that we pick right before the end of the hour. And this week, our game of the week is the Carolina Panthers versus the Chicago Bears. It feels like it's kind of obvious why this one got picked. Everyone obviously loves the Bears around here. So, Joey, I will start with you. Steve picked the Bears. Where are you headed?
Yeah, we got a real exciting contest in our hands. You know, really two of the most, like, marquee matchups in the league right now. This is definitely primetime worthy for this being our first ever selection. I'm going to bear down. You guys know I'm doing this every week. Caleb has only gotten better week after week, and now they're giving him an awful Carolina defense to go with. We were talking about, we've been waiting for the Mahomes games. This should be the Caleb Williams game if there ever should be one. Give me the Bears.
Yeah, this is the week I think Caleb really shows out. He's got to throw for at least 280 this week, I think. And I think he's going to get Roman involved, but I think DJ Moore this week is going to have his DJ Moore week and get at
DJ
least
DJ Moore revenge
yards.
Game?
Yes.
I would take all the props.
100%.
How about them Bears? Caleb Williams is going to show out. Hopefully the offensive line continues to improve. Defense is going to have at least two picks off of the Red Rifle Andy Dalton. But look for Keenan Allen to try and get involved this week. I know he's been more of a role player so far, but I anticipate he might even have a touchdown.
We're going to turn pick six into pick five this week because I am also going with the Chicago Bears.
No.
I know. We talked about it last week how I had to put a spark under the Bears, and I was going to pick against them every week because I will gladly take a pick six loss for a Bears win, but I did say in the terms and conditions that I will not be picking the Carolina Panthers over the Chicago Bears. So give me the Bears this week, making it a pick five. So there's all of our picks for this week. Kaysen, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thanks for having me on, guys. It's always good to chat with the boys.
Once again, we are here every Thursday, 6 to 7. Thank you so much for joining, and make sure to tune in next week for another edition of The Red Zone.